Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Before we start the show, I have a few production notes. First, I want to thank all of my guests for the year of 2019. You've all been spectacular. I want to thank all of my listeners who have been really loyal and have been listening like crazy, and they are helping to make people win the Chatty Award, which will be announced next year, which is not that far away. The winner of the live Chatty this year was Adrienne Wilkinson, which I already announced, and that's really cool because she's been a supporter of Chatting with Sherry since the very beginning. And the people who have been nominated this year for the Chatty, there are five. Nathan Page, Bryce Baxter, Dr. Colleen Darnell, Anthony Sharp, and Mary D. Brooks, and Stephen Sears. You can still vote for them by listening to their shows until the end of December. And I will let, that is not in order of who's winning or anything. That was just in the order that I have it written. So don't make guesses by that. There are some really close races, so keep doing it. Keep listening. And we do have a reprise of one of Sherry's Playhouse at the end of the year, which will be the 30th of December, Joe Cronus, because we're going to be introducing the next part of Joe Cronus in next year, January. So those are the production notes. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest for this last show. His name is Wolf Moon. He is an award-winning writer. He has several short stories and books out. He's won for the Writers of the Future Award, and he's very, very talented. This show is recorded, so please don't call in. So here is Wolf Moon.
Hi, Wolf. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Nice to be here.
I'm really happy to have you back. You got some exciting things happening, huh?
Yeah, it always seems to be something. We talked about breaking through, and when that happens, it's like all of a sudden everything is happening. And you go for years where it seems like nothing's happening, and suddenly everybody starts seeing you're doing things, and they're asking if you can do this for them, and things start selling. You know, it's like you hit a level where your work is consistently professional, so people start buying it and people want to keep using you, so that's been very rewarding, and it's a nice new level on that infinite path that I'm on.
I have this weird tendency to switch stuff myself, so I've been doing a lot of writing as plays, audio radio plays, as well as regular stage plays, so a whole different craft. And from writing short stories and books, I switched to writing plays, which it's not the writing, it's to get somebody to notice you. So it's like this whole new vista that I'm making little baby steps on.
Yeah, that's always the way it is. And if you keep at something long enough, you start getting signs that you're on the right path again. You know, people have to know you're there, and there's so many voices clamoring for attention that you just have to keep getting out there, getting in front of things. And then somebody will say, maybe get a nice review, maybe get on Chatting with Sherry, maybe you win a contest like Writers of the Future, maybe you get published in a well-known magazine, and suddenly your career starts taking off in that direction. So the key thing is just you keep swinging, you know, just keep swinging. Keep trying to hit a new home run.
And stretch yourself. Try different things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of podcasts now, which I'd never really thought of, but when I made my first sale to Third Flatiron a couple of years ago in their Strange Beasties anthology, the editor said, would you like to do a podcast for us, and of your story? story? And I said, sure. And she paid me to do that. And I took that as my demo tape, because you have to actually audition at all the different places you'd like to do podcasts at. And I auditioned at all these different places, sending them my demo, telling them, go listen to this story. Well, people did. And suddenly I had all kinds of podcast business, narrating other people's stories and then narrating my own. And then a year ago, Alex Schwartzman started up Future Science Fiction Digest, and he had listened to some of those stories. And he said, you got some more to listen to? And I said, sure, I got a whole list of them at Gallery of Curiosities. And he went over and listened to those. And all of a sudden, he made me podcast director for Future Science Fiction Digest. And then today, I just got an email. This is from a USA Today bestselling author. And he said, hey, can you help me with my podcasts? Or actually, not podcasts, but actually narrating on his novels, doing work for him there. So you just keep trying to figure out, how can I step up the next step, you know? And just keep being out there, keep letting people know this is what I do. I love working in creative field, whatever it might be, just like you do, you know? So it's just always an exploration, I guess.
I know, it's weird. And you never know what's going to happen and where the muse is going to take you. It's just one of those weird things.
Yeah, and the weird connections that happen, you know. It's so many anthologies, novels, things that got set up where people showing up at, you know, a con suite at the right time and meeting somebody, or sitting having a drink at the bar and the person next to them is an editor, or, you know, just one time I was just online and somebody I knew just as a Facebook friend, I didn't really know what he did. He said, what do you write? And so I told him, he found out he was editing a new anthology and wanted my story for it. So it's just, you're out there, progressive, trying to let people know, hey, I'm a creative person, want to do creative things, and they start seeing you, the more creative things that you produce that are in the public light. So it really is a snowball that keeps building and building. If you keep, I mean, in the beginning, you got to really push that snowball, but then it starts taking off, and then you just try to keep up with it as fast as you can.
I always thought that was a stone that you're pushing up a hill, not a snowball. It's a different picture. Because snowball melts and it gets kind of messy.
We had lots of snow and built lots of snowmen. And if you could start actually at the top of the hill and start your snowball up there, you could roll it all the way down, and you'd have a huge snowball by the end of the process. So it was a lot easier if you could do that. But most of us are rolling uphill, and it's really hard.
It is. So, it is. No, I'm just thinking, if you're taking a big snowball and pushing it up, that gets messy because it melts and you get really wet.
Yeah. Well, life is messy. you just keep rolling it, keep trying to pack some more snow on there and keep rolling it, and eventually it starts to roll on its own. That's the weird thing. Even uphill, it just all of a sudden it starts rolling. You go, how did that happen? You know, and that's where people go, oh, he's an overnight success. And you go, yeah, well, I was rolling that snowball for 20 years. finally it turned into something. So thanks for... You missed all the work I did in the beginning. So anyway, that's just what you have to do.
That's also like the legend of the overnight success. There is no such thing.
Yeah,
people work for years to become an overnight success.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the other thing that's happening now is that people see my stories out there and they like them. And so I'm actually being hired to do editing work now. And people are referring me, you know, it's not even in fiction, it's in nonfiction venues, but suddenly I'm getting a huge amount of work in editing, and now I'm trying to figure out, because this is always the danger in editing, you can become an editor really easy and makes it really hard to do your creative writing, you know, but editing often will pay you a lot of good money, but you have to sacrifice your writing time to do all the work for somebody else. So the next trick is, the snowball builds up, is trying to keep it in the direction that you really want your career to go. So anyway, it's good, like what you're saying, have lots of a varied set of interests, all kind of in the same direction, doing the things you like, and then it's all fun, and you get paid for having fun. So that's the ultimate thing. So so I'm enjoying that.
It's also different. It's like when you get your book on audio and you listen to someone. I didn't do mine. I could do mine because I do have an acting background, but I didn't read because it's so many hours you put when it's a book. Mm-hmm. It's not like a radio play that's an hour or maybe 2 hours at the most. A book is hours, hours and hours, and I just didn't have time because I had my podcast and my writing and stuff, so I had other people do my audiobook. And it's really weird to hear someone else do your book. Because it's like, you know, you want to make sure it's right and the words are right. Even after that, it still sounds weird because in my head, it's me.
Right.
Was it strange the first time? Did you ever have anybody else do your writing? I mean, it's really cool to hear someone else do your writing because they have a whole different interpretation of it.
On the narration?
Yeah.
So far, I haven't had anyone narrate one of my stories. When they want them narrated, they know I'm a narrator, so they hire me to do it. I really enjoy that because just like you said, you know your words. And so when you can emphasize your own words and your own characters, and for Super Duper Moon Girl, I narrated that Future Science Fiction Digest book, that story, reprinted it, and Super Duper Moon Girl and the Amazing Moon Dawdler, and I have a rapper Robodog in there, and I actually got to sing rap in my own piece because I knew the song. When I wrote it, I made up a melody. And I knew the song when I wrote it, but nobody knows that unless they hire me to do the podcast, which Alex Schwartzman did. And so I got to actually sing a rap song that I had created in my own story that nobody knew there was actual music to. So that's the fun thing when you get to do your own work, is that you really can put special things in there that nobody else can because they just don't know it as well as you.
It is weird. And it's also kind of cool to hear your words come to light. To hear someone else say your words, like I said, they have a different interpretation than you do. So it's like, wow, okay, did I write that? Oh yeah, I did write that.
Yeah. And there's something different. Two things about narration and listening to audio or podcasts. It's a different type of listener than a reader. They tend to like the audio. It reaches them in a better way than reading does, so a lot of them are almost exclusively audio. The other thing is it touches different things inside of you. I had a lady 2 days ago that she went to listen to Super Duper Moon Girl and the Amazing Moon Dawdler. It was a winner in Writers of the Future, of course, but then Future SF reprinted it. And then they hired me to do the podcast of it. So this lady had read my story in Writers of the Future, and it didn't make her cry. It was emotional, but she didn't cry in that one, where many people wrote to me. I mean, I have 24 people that have written to me saying they were just bawling when they got to the end of the story. But she said the written word didn't make her cry. She said, when I listened to your podcast of it, she said, I started crying almost immediately. And she said, I was bawling through the whole story. She said, I don't know how that happened. And I told her, well, it happens because when I'm reading it, I'm feeling that pain in my own heart. And so it's actually, I'm crying in my heart as I'm reading her words and what she's going through. And so it's actually, there's another dimension to narration and podcasting that you can't get in the written word. They're both beautiful venues. They're both beautiful ways to tell stories. But there are differences, and they touch people in different ways, and that was a good example of it with that lady that wrote to me.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and you don't know where it's going to go. Like, I write radio plays, and so I have actors who do the parts that I wrote. I don't act that often in them when I write them. I have a couple of times because I really like the character I wrote, which is kind of dangerous if you're also directing. But most of the time I try not to. But you sit back and listen to it, and you're like, oh, okay. Because sometimes they go in an entirely different direction, which I'm really open to. I know there's some people who write, and they don't want you to go off in a different direction. But then it's not coming from the actor or the person who's narrating, and then it doesn't work. You have to let them have a little space to do their own thing. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, writers have a hard time realizing that a story told in a play or in a movie on a script is quite different from a story that you put down in a book. So they have so much of their world in their head, and a play or a movie can't get all of that down. So it has to be told differently to be able to take advantage of that medium. And those actors are trying their best to get into the role, but of course, they aren't you. You know it better than anybody else. You actually gave birth to those characters. So they're going to put their spin on it, and that's really hard for writers to back up and go, okay, that wasn't the spin I had thought for that character, but does it really change anything? Will it really destroy my story? So that's where the interpretation comes in, and that's kind of the beauty of it, is people actually get to walk inside. For you, it's got to be tremendously rewarding to watch people walking inside of something that you imagined, and here they are on a stage moving around, spouting the lines and pretending to be the characters that are imagining characters in your head, you know. So that's got to be very rewarding to see that.
It was weird just having someone do a read through on stage. I was in a writing contest, and they had like 10 people. I was one of the 10 people. It's one of the reasons I started Sherry's Playhouse. And the winners got their play read on stage at La Jolla. So it's just a bunch of actors sitting around the table reading your words, and it's cold reading. I mean, I think they looked at it once, but didn't take it away and read it later, because they had 10 different people's plays to read. And I was crying my eyes out. It wasn't even,
that'd be fun.
It wasn't a sad play. It was more like it was an emotional cry.
Yeah.
Then, because it was like, yeah, okay. Because I'm an actor, I understand interpretation.
Yeah. Well, it would be amazing, because I always watch all of the extras on my DVDs and Blu-rays, because I like watching how they produce things. It's fascinating,
mm-hmm.
and I learn from all these experts. And you see all the actors, before they start, they'll do a read around a table, just like you're talking about. And they put all this feeling into
mm-hmm.
it, that you'll see them acting out later, but all they're doing is sitting at a table. But that read is very, I mean, it's like what you see in the show. So, yeah, it would be very exciting to see that, because here's your words being produced and elevated by people that are experts in how to do that. So
yeah,
that's a beautiful thing. I would be very moved as well.
It's very emotional. It's very emotional. And it's like, I think you worry the actor sometimes if you get really, like, I'm sitting there hiding behind my coffee with my Kleenex wiping my eyes, because I don't want to stop their flow or make them feel like they're doing something wrong. But it was very emotional, because it was the first time I had had, before that I had a fan fiction story done as an audio read, as I guess it was like an audio book, but it was a fan fiction story. And I got very emotional with that too. It's just the first time you hear your words with someone else saying it, it's just much more, it hits you more than if you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Well, coming from being a podcast director and creating, narrating people's stories, like at Future Science Fiction Digest, you know, they'll write to me and say, oh, thank you for bringing my words to life, that was beautiful. And then they'll go share it on their Facebook
mm-hmm.
page, you know, and say, listen to this, everybody, my story was narrated by Wolf Moon, you know. And it makes you really happy, because, I mean, you work really hard. You put, you know, for every hour that's produced, you probably got 5 hours of work in there if you're also doing the sound engineering it as well. So, I mean, you put a lot of time into these pieces. And you really, when somebody has me narrate one of their stories, I view it as one of mine. You know, I'm not just getting it out there. I'm trying to give the same feeling that I would give my own characters, because I'm a writer too, and I know what that feels like. And so you want to give people the very best so that they can have that same feeling of, wow, somebody put a lot of effort into this, and it's special, you know. So it's the reward. It's what makes the work not work. It makes it so rewarding and makes you feel good because you're bringing dreams to life for dreamers.
Yeah, and it's exhausting, too. I was rereading Agatha Christie's autobiography, and one of the things she talked about, she wrote a book in 3 days.
What?
3 days, a whole book. And it wasn't one of her mysteries. It was one of her, well, they call them romances, but I've read them. They're not romantic. They're more dramas. And she wrote it in 3 days, and she said she was so exhausted after, it was during the war, and she was doing hospital work, and she actually called the hospital to say she couldn't make it because she didn't want to leave. She was, like, in the middle part of it, and she just kept going, and she said she was so exhausted she slept for 3 days.
Yeah.
But she said that was her most satisfaction of any book she'd ever read because it was exactly what she wanted to write.
Yeah, and that's the subconscious taking over and saying, you have to get this out now. It obviously was very important to something deep inside of her. And when that's speaking, I've learned you make the time and you just go do it because it may not come back again. So that was, I'm sure that's why she did that. She just wrote and wrote and wrote to get it all out. And you turn off your critical mind and just write, and it just comes out. So anyway, it shows, and, like, you know, it was important because she said that was her most important work she wrote.
Yes. Well, most satisfying. I don't think it was the most important. It was one of her mysteries, so that was, those work always considered her important, but it was satisfying. Satisfaction for an author is different than success for an author. At least I found that.
Yeah, for sure. So, although, I mean, if you're doing what you love and people start liking it, you also get success. So, there's something called voice, and it's, you know, people always try to describe it, and it's just there. When you see a work by somebody inspired, you know it. It's like, there's a light bulb shining here. It's so unique, and it's a unique light. You know, it's like a colored light, you know, but you pick it up and you go, this is a unique light, ray of light I have never seen before. I have to read this. I have to watch this. Somebody inspired created this, and they were inspired at this moment, I can tell. And that's kind of what voice is. It's this uniqueness that can only come through the illumination of that one individual. And when they get it right, when it's flowing, you can just tell, you know, you can tell in the first paragraph of a story, boom, there's voice. I have to read the whole thing because I know this person is illuminated by something great within them. So anyway,
I agree.
You understand that.
I agree. I think it's really cool. It's just like when you're writing a story, whatever type of story it is, and you have in your mind, it's one of the things new writers have to learn. You have, like, an idea. You have it all plotted out in your head. You pretty much know where your story is going to end, right? I mean, basically, most people are like that, right?
Yep, for sure.
But when you're writing, the characters will take over. And they will sometimes go in a direction that is deeper and in a direction you don't even, you're not even thinking of. It makes us all sound like we're schizos, but it's part of the creative process.
Yeah. Well, and some of those people just have tremendous imaginations, and they can't define reality from fantasy. So they're usually very bright people. So.
I'm just saying that it makes writers sound like they're all a schizo, because they're just, I have never talked to a writer who didn't say their characters told them what to do.
Yeah, I always when I go to conventions and I see some of the people, it's like, I always think, and it's fun, it's like, writers write the edge that other people jump off of, you know, it's like, we know where the end of the fantasy is at. You know, it's like this is still a dream world. It's not real, you know. But we do write the edge that other people jump off of, and I'm glad for those fans. I mean, that they are so into it and can tell you more about a book than the novelist knows. All of its history and stuff is like, wow, you know, these super fans are amazing, and you know, they are what help you make your career, because they're your best advertising. But yeah, they really get into it. It's, you know, you think of the Wheel of Time fans and Brandon Sanderson's fans, it's like, I mean, they know those worlds inside and out, and it's because he did a lot of work making real characters, and for them, they're real people to them. They're so vivid. They're just like their friends.
It's that actually is kind of beautiful in a way.
Yeah.
Because yes, yeah. I understand that. I really do. I mean, I was the kid that was always moving. I always moved. I never stayed in a school for more than a year, sometimes 3 years at the most. So I was always the new kid.
Yeah.
So my books and TV shows and movies, they were so important to me. They were how I kept my sanity, really. You know what I mean? It was like I didn't have any friends yet because I just moved there, but I knew that I was going to stay there. But my friends, like in my books and in TV shows and movies, they'll always be there. So I kind of understand that completely.
Yeah, when I was in junior high and in high school, I came from a very abusive household. I finally ended up in a foster home. I had to run away. But I had been hit and beaten so many times, I could only look at my tennis shoes as I walked down the hallways, or a book that I'd always be reading, because I was so afraid if I looked up, I'd be hit. It was just conditioned into me. So I read because that world was safe and secure, and I could interact with those characters I was reading and see into their lives, and their lives seemed better than mine. At least they could triumph over things in their lives. I couldn't at that point until I ran away. But that's what gave me hope, was reading those stories and reading about those heroes and seeing their worlds. You know, without that, very easily, in some cases, you can end your life. Because you have no hope. You think there's nothing better. But when you read stories of others who triumph, it gives you a little bit of hope, and sometimes that's all you need to hang on and keep going. So yeah, I think, I know many authors that have had fans come up to them and told them, you don't know this, but your books actually saved my life. At a very dark time when I was a kid, I read these, and it gave me hope, you know, and I know authors that tell those stories, and to me, that's the greatest reward of all, is that actually your visions can actually help save people's lives, because their lives can be so bad that they need something else to focus on or pin their lives on so that they can get through what they're going through. So writing and creating stories and creating characters that have hope and belief and can overcome trials, to me, is an essential and actually a way to help and heal people. So the more the better, that, you know, good writing like that and good storytelling.
Absolutely. We're running out of time. Do you have a new book that's coming out? And also, do you have anything that's coming up that's like a convention or book signing?
Okay, so let's see. My latest story is Cold Iron. This is the sequel to War Dog that won the Best Science Fiction and Fantasy Short Story category in 2018 from the Critters Reader's Choice Award. 2,000 people voted in that, and this was one of the largest categories. So I'm really proud of the sequel, and that's in Infinite Lives, Short Tales of Longevity. If you look up Wolf Moon, WULFMOON, over at Amazon, or if you go to my website, driftweave.com, driftweave.com, you can find that, and it's a great story, and it's set with conquistadors, with some magic and lots of fun things. Deep Magic Magazine just published another one of my Capriccio stories, set in that same conquistador time, and that story is called Weep No More for the Willow, so it's Deep Magic, fall 2019. Again, you can get that on Amazon. And my super duper Moon Girl story is actually on the recommended reading list for the Nebula Awards this year, and that's Super Duper Moon Girl and the Amazing Moon Dawdler. And if you go to future-sf.com, you can listen to that for free, so you can hear one of my podcasts, or you can read it for free there. So it's in issue number 3. And then finally, just today was released Cold Iron, my podcast, over at thirdflatiron.com. And so that's I'm proud of that story because I get to read it, and so you can hear how I put the emphasis on my characters and world. So those are some of the latest things, and I'm doing lots of editing for people too. So anyway, keeping very busy.
Oh, great. That's fabulous. Thank you for taking the time to come on. I really do appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Sherry. Keep up the good work in your playwriting.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.